faith-filled finance. All major UK bank accounts. One app. Provision is built by Christians to help you steward what God's given you. Track your spending, saving, and giving in one place. Join the waitlist now at provision.money and get your first month free. That's provision.money.
Leadership File on Premier.
It's my joy to welcome you to the Leadership File, the show that aims to help you lead as Christ would have you lead wherever he has placed you. I'm Andy Peck, your host, and whether you listen live on a Sunday or one of the many thousands who catch up via the podcast, it's great that you can join us. Nursing has been a common profession for Christians, and it's no surprise that those who've experienced the care of Christ should want to extend their hands to those who require nursing. But nursing can be a lonely and tiring business. Shift work does not make it easy to meet with Christians on a Sunday, and in recent years, stories of Christians in nursing have hit the media for all the wrong reasons. In 2016, Sarah Cootie was dismissed for gross misconduct from Darrant Valley Hospital in Dartford, Kent, after complaints she'd offered to pray for patients, a dismissal upheld under appeal. Is this an isolated and one-off incident or a sign of the way things are going? Well, to talk about Christians in nursing, the challenges and opportunities, I'm joined by Pippa Pepiat, the head of nursing at CMF. Welcome to Leadership Farm, Pippa.
Oh, thanks, Andy. It's great to be here with you.
Thank you. And good that you could join us. Your journey into nursing, first of all, Pippa.
Well, I knew Jesus from a young age, and my heart was really just to serve and follow him wholeheartedly in whatever I did. And so in some sense, really, the career choice was a secondary thing. As a teenager, I just read lots of books about mission work, particularly international work, and that really captivated me. And I decided soon on that I wanted to be involved in something that allowed me to both proclaim and demonstrate the gospel. And nursing seemed a good fit, really, a good means to fulfill the call to that integral mission. There's opportunity for practical, loving service to accompany any verbal gospel message. So that's how I chose it.
Brilliant. Oh, well, it's obviously been part of your faith journey for the, you know, for that profession. Some folk are nurses and come to faith, but you obviously chose it within the framework of a walk with Christ, which is great. And you're involved in CMF. You could describe that a little bit later. So how did you get involved with them?
Yeah, well, I was aware that CMF existed. Now, CMF is Christian Medical Fellowship. And originally it was exclusively for medics for sort of 65 years. It was only supporting and encouraging and equipping doctors and medical students. And they've done a fantastic job doing that. But realizing the same practical, spiritual and ethical challenges are being faced by nurses and midwives, CMF have really generously welcomed and opened its membership to nurses and midwives just a few years ago. So about 4 years ago, my oldest son, Josh, was a medical student, and he got involved with CMF himself. He went on all these conferences and local groups, and he loved it. My husband's also a doctor, and he was on CMF's mailing list. And at that time, both my son and my husband read the job description for what was to become my post at CMF, and both independently messaged me in the same hour to say I should look at the advert, as they both thought it was written for me. Now, at the time, I was running a small Ugandan-based charity called Caris Kids, which my husband and I had the joy of starting with the Bishop of Kampala 10 years previously. I loved doing this, but had begun to feel the Lord might have a new challenge for me. So I had just started to pray what this might be. And the day I read the job description from CMF about a role to help pioneer and grow a Christian nursing fellowship, I just knew this was the next God adventure for me.
Oh, that's fabulous. So it's great to hear how how the Lord led you. Now, in my introduction, Pip, I was a bit unfair, perhaps, yeah. but I did talk about a story that has been in the news and kind of perhaps alarming to some Christians in nursing. Someone dismissed because they prayed for someone, and we don't need to go into the ins and outs of all that. But what about the opportunities for nurses and midwives?
Great opportunities. Incidentally, when I talk about nurses and nursing fellowship, I'm also including midwives here. It's simply shortened for simplicity of speech. It's a bit less of a mouthful.
Sure.
But wonderful opportunities, you know, to be able to support people and journey with them at some of the most vulnerable times of their lives or life-changing times of their lives. I was reading a statistic earlier in the week that more people go through the doors of hospitals than the doors of churches each week. And what an opportunity to meet people where they're at and in their time of need. And also a quote by a guy, Francis Grimm, who says that when we are standing, I'm paraphrasing this, but when we're standing upright vertically, we just look out horizontally. But when we're ill and lying horizontally, we look up to God. And so I just think sometimes at these times of life, at these vulnerable moments, at these times where suddenly we might be having to face up to some bigger questions of our own fragility, our own vulnerability, we do begin to have faith questions, and our thoughts do sometimes turn to God, and nurses are wonderfully set to be to know patients, to have the trust of patients, and to be there to talk to.
Sure. And I understand that, I mean, the NHS is committed to holistic care. Certainly our documents would say that the faith of a person or the religion of a person should be part of your medical care of them, that there's a spiritual dimension potentially anyway. But praying for people is a little bit more tricky, I'm guessing.
It is. And your mentioning of the story about Sarah in your introduction is, you know, the very real spiritual climate that nurses find themselves in. It is a tough situation, and things have to be done carefully and in the right way. Regarding holistic care, one good thing the Royal College of Nursing, the RCN, did in 2010 was some research on spiritual care in nursing. And based on the results of this research, the majority of nurses interviewed felt that spiritual care was an integral part of their nursing role, but felt they didn't have the training to deliver it. So the RCN produced this little booklet, which is actually great. It's called Spirituality in Nursing Care, again produced in 2010. And in black and white, you know, it states that nurses do have a duty of care to be holistic and patient-centered, taking into account spiritual factors and, where relevant, discussing spiritual issues. So it's good that we've got that fallback on. As regards to protocol, the only reference to faith in the Nursing and Midwifery Council Code is in Clause 20, and I'll just quote that because it's interesting to know. It says, make sure you do not express your personal beliefs, including political, religious or moral beliefs, to people in an inappropriate way. And, you know, on the surface, that doesn't seem very positive, does it? It certainly implies we shouldn't be coercive or pushing our faith on anyone. But I think still the implication in this clause is that there is room to express beliefs appropriately. And that includes praying. There's room to pray appropriately. And we would suggest that appropriate sharing of faith or praying is with sensitivity, with respect, and with patient's permission.
Sure.
And I could share, just to counteract stories like Sarah's, one or two good stories, if you like. I've got a couple in my mind just because they've been emailed me this week, and I always like current things. For encouragement this week, a lovely experienced nurse emailed me about something that happened that day. And so I'll quote her email. She writes, I had cared for an elderly man, highly educated, who had terminal cancer and who was keen to tell me all he had achieved, by which I sensed he felt valued and identified. who was distressed he could no longer do all he did, such as organising community projects and liaising with MPs. He mentioned faith and he said his wife had a strong faith, he had lapsed. We talked and I offered to pray, after which he begged me for a copy of whatever book I'd got the prayer from. I said it's from my heart for him and that God hears just as we speak. No fancy language needed. And we can talk in prayer to God. We talk more about prayer and God not needing our deeds to pay our way. And that when I left the room, he can close his eyes and say whatever he wants to God. He will be heard. I didn't get to speak with him again as he died soon after. I trust he found the peace he was looking for.
That's very powerful, isn't it? Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's really encouraging to hear nurses who are being courageous and sensitive getting alongside patients. Good one. But do we have time for another one, Andy?
Yeah, very possibly. We've got a couple of minutes before the break. Yep.
Okay. I just get excited sharing the good news
right,
ones.
Good.
This one was yesterday, a district nurse who emailed her story. She said, I went to see a patient because she was feeling sick and not eating or drinking. She told me she hadn't eaten properly since her husband, who had dementia, went into a care home, and she was really low in mood. I spotted a cross on the wall and asked if she was a Christian. She said that she used to be, but she felt that God had abandoned her. What with her husband's dementia and now her physical problems, meaning she could no longer drive or get out easily, she felt lost. I felt a pounding in my chest and a voice in my head saying that I needed to tell her I still loved her. I resisted saying anything at first, but it carried on. I then said that I hoped she wouldn't be offended, but I felt God was trying to tell me he still loved her. She started to cry and said she felt relieved. We talked about how she felt, and I asked if anyone had prayed for her and her husband. She said no. I asked if she thought it would help, and she said yes. I asked if she would like me to pray, and she said she would really like that. I prayed with her. And before I left, she talked about contacting her old church to ask if someone could give her a lift to church. As I left, she hugged me and said she felt God had sent her an angel to help her. Isn't that wonderful?
Again, yes, absolutely, yeah. So, yeah, so you have some great opportunities along the challenges, alongside the challenges, which is good to hear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you're listening to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Pippa Pepiat. She's the head of nursing at CMF, and we'll be back. Welcome back to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Pippa Pepiat. She's the head of nursing at CMF. We were talking before the break of how she got involved with CMF. Used to be the Christian Medical Fellowship that has a nurses and midwives aspect to that. And a little bit before the break, particularly of how nurses can indeed make an impact for Christ as opportunity arises. So, Pippa, I understand you met with the Bishop for Health in the House of Lords. I confess, yeah. I didn't know there was such a thing. But anything you're able to share from that conversation?
Yeah, he's a lovely guy, Bishop James Newcombe. In fact, he was the first bishop to hold this post. Okay. So a lot of us haven't been aware of the post until recently. But it's great because I think from now on there will be a Bishop for Health always in the House of Lords, having that particular interest. Really, our main discussion was how we could get CMF literature into the hands of chaplains ready to give to Christian healthcare workers in hospitals, and really let all the, particularly the Christian nurses and midwives, know that CMF is there for them. And he was really supportive, really helpful.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear. Well, certainly I know a few folk in that field, and so I'll be able to pass on, certainly this recording in due course, but also news of your ministry in order that folk can connect. That's great. So, I mean, the health service is well loved in the UK, but also under massive pressure. And I'm just wondering if Christian nurses are managing to stay, if you like, above politics in their service.
I'd say yes and no to that, really. Yes, in terms of the dedication and commitment of nurses. Nurses and midwives are incredibly dedicated and care about patients and generally will do their jobs to the best of their abilities, whatever the challenging environment or political pressures. But I'd also answer that question as I hope not. I hope they don't always stay above politics, as you know, we need Christians to be ready to engage across all agendas with a clear message of hope and love. And I think Jesus set us an example to follow, didn't he, when he didn't step back from speaking up about the politics of his day. And there may be sometimes times when Christian healthcare professionals need to find their voice and speak into situations where patients and staff are adversely affected by policy.
Sure.
For example, injustices over funding inequalities, or indeed when Christian values are being challenged.
No, fair enough, fair enough. So, Pippa, turning to your leadership, what do you hope to bring in terms of being a head of nursing at CMF?
Overall, to establish a thriving Christian nursing fellowship in the UK, realising there hasn't been any Christian fellowship for nurses for a while and how needed it is. So a Christian nursing fellowship that helps encourage, unite and equip nurses and midwives to live and speak for Jesus in the workplace. You made reference to some of the challenges in your introduction to nurses, the shift patterns, a lot of discouragement, there's time and resource pressures, short-staffed, often struggling to get to churches on Sundays or home groups. There's just a lot of compassion fatigue. And I'd like to really help establish something that, that truly helps them and something that lasts. And to create something with longevity, I think that means investing in leaders and in young leaders. So one of my priorities is to focus and invest in the next generation.
Okay. And that, would that be via conferences or newsletters?
Yeah, a mixture of things. I mean, we do invest quite a lot in resources online and written as well. But we have conferences. We work a lot in I've been focusing on trying to grow lots of local groups. We currently have about 20 plus student groups going around the country, as well as graduate groups led by student leaders. And particularly student leaders, we invest in. We've just had on CMF National Conference, and we invite the student leaders to come along. In fact, we give them a free place at the conference so that they can actually come and access some specific training of how best to lead a group, a healthcare Christian group. So certainly conferences, and then we do lots of day events. I'm hosting a retreat day in a week's time for student and junior leaders. And, you know, at our conferences, it may be that the need is something as simple as giving a seminar on keeping compassion alive or avoiding burnout in the long term. Or it may be some key teaching on a particular ethical issue. For example, what biblical principles can we apply to subjects like end-of-life care or contraception, transgender, robotics, whatever it is, this infinite amount of healthcare issues. But it's sort of providing a full range of things. One of the things I've enjoyed doing is establishing a writer's day for nurses. I think a lot of our nurses and midwives have the skills to write, but sometimes lack confidence. So it's putting on things which really can hone their skills and confidence, and then giving them opportunities to put those skills immediately into practice. So I've got a growing pool of writers now for our own Christian Nurses magazine called Spotlight, among other CMF publications. And the other thing I'm trying to do as well is to build a team around me and invest in them in a focused way. So I'm raising up leaders. I've got a great little team growing. One of the new things that's happened this year is we've been appointing volunteer staff workers. And these are fantastic nurses who are still clinically practicing, but they are giving up one day a week, committing to do that for at least 2 years to give their time to CMF. And they are working locally in their regions, overseeing the work there, training leaders there, starting and overseeing groups in their own regions. And they've been a joy. I mean, it's been really great to have a team, and all the energy and passion and creativity of the nursing team growing has been great.
Yeah. And where do you think the biggest challenges will be as you kind of seek to go forward, Pippa?
Good question. I think one of the ongoing challenges is getting the word out. Raising the profile that not only that CMF exists, but now it exists for nurses and midwives, that they're welcomed And so, Andy, actually, thanks for today. You know, all these things help get the message out. And if any people are listening to this and know of any Christian nurses and midwives, please do encourage them to join CMF and to be part of this movement, passionate for the glory of God in nursing and midwifery. So getting the word out is one thing. Other challenges, establishing groups is actually quite tricky, regular meeting places and regular groups, just because of the shift work and the far-flung clinical placements and things like this, which nurses have to deal with. So there's a need to be a little bit creative with hubs in homes, in churches, maybe in hospitals at lunch breaks or before shifts start, you know, trying to think, how do we best create environments for nurses and midwives to meet and support each other? Mm-hmm. And then I think with limited typical charity and limited budget and time, really just where to prioritise things and how to provide the right resources and the right input. And for instance, some nurses want to be equipped and get information on ethical issues. For example, midwives want info on the beginning of life and abortion, and maybe want to know biblical principles to navigate around some of these ethical minefields. Whereas other nurses are just in personal need, and the priority for them is a place to go for support and prayer. And I'd say in it all, I just feel very dependent on the Lord. It's wonderful to know that it's his work for his kingdom. And I'd say my personal challenge is just making enough time to pray and listen to him.
Wonderful. Good. And Pippa, just as we close, you mentioned Caris Kids early on in our conversation. That was sort of 10 years or so ago.
That it started, yes. It's still going on, yeah.
So are you involved at all these days?
I'm involved in, I play a minor part these days. I am a trustee still and help a little bit with some of the sort of PR type work and the relational work of it. But unfortunately, with my focus now being CMF, I don't have an awful lot of time. But it's been a huge joy to be involved in it. And one of the joys is it's been very much church-to-church partnerships and very Ugandan-led out there. And the focus has been on whole families. It's sort of families for orphans, really, but focusing on a whole family as opposed to an individual orphan, which has been quite a new approach. And, yeah, it's just been such a joy working with Ugandans and the two-way blessing of us not just giving but really receiving from them, from their prayers, from their faith, from their resilience and joy. It's been a massive life lesson for me and everyone involved. So, yes, I'm still involved, but I have limited time these days.
Sure. Well, as time's almost defeated us, but it's just time to give the normal kind of contact details for CMF and how do people get in touch with you and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's great. Well, our website is www.cmf.org.uk. So that's the website. We have a nurses page on that. And then personally, if anyone's interested or wants more information, more literature sent to them, my email is pippa@cmf.org.uk. And I'd be very happy to correspond with anyone.
That's fabulous. Good. So that's those details again is www.cmf.org.uk and pippa@cmf.org. .uk if you want to get in touch with Pippa. So Pippa, it's been lovely to chat with you. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Exciting times for nurses and midwives, Christians particularly across the UK, we trust.
Yep, I'm trusting too.
Okay, so you've been listening to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I was joined this week by Pippa Pepiat. That's P-E-P-P-I-A-T-T. And she's the head of nursing at CMF. And we've given you the details if you know of a nurse, Christian nurse, or you're a Christian nurse yourself and you want to get in touch, then you can do so. Look forward to your company again on the Leadership File. You remember you can go to the website and get archived versions of the Leadership File just by going to Premier's website and typing in Leadership File, and there's several hundred past shows there. Also go to iTunes and you can get the show downloaded to your listening device on a regular basis if you choose to do so. So look forward to your company again next Sunday at 3:30 or via the podcast. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to The Leadership File on Premier. Andy Peck serves as a tutor at CWR, a Christian charity whose courses and publications aim to apply God's word to everyday life. Contact him via email apeck@cwr.org.uk.